If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. We're going to continue our series walking through the book of Ruth, leading us right into our time of celebrating Christmas. If you're with us this morning and you don't have a copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you and invite you to look in the chair in front of you, and underneath that chair you'll see a blue Bible there. Please take that today. Use it today. Take it home with you. It's a free gift from us to you. And we encourage you to read God's Word throughout the week. And if you choose to come back to Charleston Baptist Church to worship with us, we encourage you to bring it back and use it as we study God's Word together. If you're going to be using the church-provided Bible this morning, we'll be on page 248. Page 248. As a way of review, the book of Ruth is a story that has love. It teaches us a lot about relationships. It teaches us a lot about dealing with hardship and heartache, but most importantly, it draws us to a place of knowing the true hero of the Bible, none other than God Himself. We find ourselves in Ruth chapter 1. The title of that message was Redeeming Hope, and the reason why that is so critical is because the two main characters in chapter 1, you have Ruth and Naomi. They are married, but unfortunately, their famine hit the land. They were driven out of their land. The husband takes them to a place that is away from God. The husband dies, the two sons die, and they're left stranded, they're left to themselves. But God, in His redeeming hope, gives Naomi a friend, a great friend, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth says, based on how I see how you're living your life, Naomi, you have told me, you have taught me something about the Lord, that even when things are bad and we can't explain those things, your God will be my God. And your people will be my people. And we see God's providence even in the midst of pain and tragedy and hurt. At the end of chapter 1, we see God leading them back to their hometown of Bethlehem, because God had shown back up and He had been blessing Bethlehem with food again. And so they're on their way back. And chapter 1 ends us with this phrase that when they entered into Bethlehem, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Last week we saw not only the redeeming hope of the Lord, but the redeeming care of the Lord, and how Ruth gets up that morning and she goes into a field to glean. And it was God's provision that those who are the most vulnerable, those who are without, the orphan, the widow, the sojourner, the one who was foreign in the land, that God had set provision for them through His people, that when you harvest your land, don't take it all for yourselves, leave some, so that those who are in great need will have an opportunity to partake of the harvest. And so that's where Ruth is at. Ruth is in the field and she's hustling, she's working hard, she's getting all that grain. And then all of a sudden this man named Boaz, Scripture tells us that Boaz was a relative of Elimelech. Elimelech was Naomi's husband, the husband that had passed away. And so that's a key phrase for us. And it's through that time that Boaz shows redeeming care to her by protecting her, providing for her, and we're going to lead that into today's message of redeeming kindness. We're going to see redeeming kindness in our passage this morning. And so let's start off in verse 14. We looked at verse 14 last week, but it's such a pivotal verse as it unpacks for us the rest of the chapter here. So 14 through 23. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that through your word today, that you will give us an awesome reminder of the greatness of our Lord. Lord, the redeeming kindness that we see, not only in Scripture, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have access to today. Lord, you know our struggles. You know where we feel burdened and overloaded. And we ask this morning, by grace through faith, we will leave here free, knowing that in Christ we have all that we could ever hope for or ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the key words that we find throughout the book of Ruth is the word redeem. And last week we saw this definition, and I think it's important for us to put this definition before us each and every week as we study through the book of Ruth, and that is this. Redeem means to pay the necessary price for someone's freedom, someone's debt, or to cover someone's past mistakes. This is such an important word in Scripture. This truth of redemption, this truth of redeem is something that weaves its way all throughout Scripture. And not only is it a huge truth that runs throughout Scripture, this truth of redemption is huge for you and me. The reality is that there are those here this morning that have this idea that my life is so small and God is so big. All of the things that are happening in the world are so significant that who am I that God would even take notice of me? And here's what this passage is reminding us this morning. God sees your life. He sees every detail of your life, and nothing is insignificant to Him. In Ruth chapter 2, we see Ruth rolling out of bed, right? She rolls out of bed. She recognized that there was a need for food, and she set out that morning seeking favor. She was seeking grace, and because of God's redeeming care for her, and really God's redeeming care for all mankind, He positions a redeemer in her path, Boaz. Boaz was a man of substance. He was a man who cared for the vulnerable. He was a man who was humble. He was a man who saw people differently. He comes into Ruth's life. And what we find in Ruth chapter 2, verses 14 through 23, the passage that we read this morning, we see Boaz extending redeeming kindness to Ruth. And he extends that kindness in the form of an invitation. The invitation is huge here, and there's two truths about this invitation. The first truth is this: redeeming kindness is found in that invitation. That's where we see the redeeming kindness of our Lord through the person and work of Boaz. That invitation positions her in a place of receiving and knowing redeeming kindness. What do we know about this invitation? We see this. It's an invitation of grace. It's an invitation of grace. Boaz is on a grace mission. That's what he set out to do that morning. And he gives Ruth a personal invitation. Verse 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. Boaz gives her a privileged position. She's sitting at Boaz's table. She's part of the cool table, if you will. I remember what it was like being in high school. Yes, it was a long time ago, but I remember there were certain tables that cool people sat at. And I wasn't one of those cool people in many ways. In this scenario, Boaz invites her to what? The cool table. It's like watching Downton Abbey, if you ever watched that. It would be like Robert Crawley, the Earl of Grantham, inviting Mrs. Hughes, the head housekeeper, to eat lunch. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit human wisdom. And that's what grace does. It puts people at the table who wouldn't normally be invited. Grace invites us to the greatest table of all. She's being brought into the family symbolically, and he's serving her some of the finest food. She left her house that morning in need, and God, through Boaz, met her where she was at and satisfied her soul through what we call amazing grace. It's an invitation of grace, and not only that, it's an invitation of generosity. It's an invitation of generosity. Verses 15 through 16, the scripture says, "When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her.
And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not what? Do not rebuke her. Boaz wants her to succeed. And he puts her in a place where she will be able to gather more than she would normally be able to gather on her own. He tells his workers to what? To help her. Put her on the inside where it's easier to glean. So not just stay on the outside with the leftovers, but put her on the inside track. Put her where she's going to succeed in what she's doing and purposely put down some stuff, right? Lay it down for her. Boaz says, I'm going to put you in a place with a better stash. And we know what that better stash is. Think about this. Parents are great at this. You go grocery shopping and you see all the stuff in the cart. You see all the goodies, right? The vegetables, the candy, all that good stuff. You get home and as a kid you find out what? You see vegetables everywhere, but what do you not see? You don't see candy. Guess what? Mom and Dad hid the stash, right? And so you're out there trying to find a stash. This is a different stash, though. She doesn't have to go out and find it. Boaz instructs his people to do what? To put it down so she can easily see it. We see generosity not only in that, but we see generosity in his protection over her. He tells his workers, don't give her a hard time. Twice there it says, do not reproach her, do not rebuke her. Man, don't threaten her physically. Remember, Ruth is the Moabite woman, the outsider. She's in a different place, a different field, out of her comfort zone. And Boaz says, listen, don't harm her. Don't do anything to shame her personally. Don't give her a bunch of those Moabite jokes. You know, how many Moabites does it take to screw in a light bulb? Don't do any of that stuff. You treat her kindly. You treat her with respect. You treat her with dignity. You see, the invitation of generosity reminds us that God goes way beyond our ask. She set out that day seeking favor. But through the person and work of Boaz, she found far more than that. Not only is it an invitation of grace and an invitation of generosity, it's an invitation that crosses cultural and ethnic barriers. It's an invitation that crosses cultural and ethnic barriers. Boaz honors her. She's invited to sit at his table. Boaz is the bridge to bringing this foreign outcast woman into the group, right? Into the cool table. She is of a different background. She is of a different race. But guess what? She's welcomed. She's welcomed. Verse 14. So she sat beside the reapers. When you think about history, history that is not so far removed from us today, how could it be that only 60 years ago, apparently right-minded people either completely ignored the Bible or distorted the Bible so as to reinforce separate water fountains, separate buses, separate restrooms on the basis of the color of a person's skin. Listen, this is not only a shocking reality in our own country, but in many ways it was a shocking reality in our own churches because it was apparently what? Christian. God's people distorted God's word in a way that didn't bring cultures together, ethnicities together, but caused a wedge. There's nothing Christian about that. They didn't get it from the Bible. And the more we read the book of Ruth, the more we realize that there is a strong word from God concerning this very issue. The reality is that we have allowed the philosophy of man, the ideology of man, to supersede the word of God. This great issue of the Bible was never about the color of man's skin, but the condition of a man's heart. In other words, every person must answer this question. Who do you say Jesus is? That is the dividing line. That is the question that brings people together or moves people apart. You either are with him or you're against him. And praise be to God, Boaz knows and he understands and he reflects what? The gospel. Ruth is discovering the heart of God through the words and actions of Boaz. This is what God always intended through the nation of Israel. This is what God always intended through the church today. That we would be a light in a dark world, reflecting love, care, and kindness and acceptance that the world so desperately needed and needs today. That regardless of culture or ethnic background, you're welcome. You're welcome at the table. The king's table. You see, Boaz owes her nothing but gives her what? Gives her everything. We see this in the gospel. Think about how Jesus calls his first disciples to follow him In Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, the scripture says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he," speaking of Jesus, "saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me.'" You see Jesus' heart for people. Think about Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're doing what they do every day. They're casting their nets. They're fishermen. They're trying to make money. They're trying to survive. And all people saw, day in and day out, was a bunch of smelly fishermen. But Jesus sees them differently. Jesus saw who they could be in the kingdom of God. Not based on their accomplishments, not based on their resources, not based on their background, not based on the color of their skin, but because their heart and soul was drawn to Him. Jesus gives an invitation to all. It's an invitation of grace, but it doesn't stop there. The scripture says, "Follow me and I will" what? "I will make you." I will make you. Jesus invites us to be changed by Him, to be transformed by Him. "I will make you. I will produce in you. I will create in you a new identity, a new purpose, a new desires, new loves, new affections, new pursuits, a new perspective on life. And what I'm calling you to do, I will do it first in you." We see generosity in God's calling of us. That He's not going to leave us where He found us. That He's going to give us full equipping to do whatever He has called us to do. It doesn't stop there though. He says, "Follow me, I'll make you" what? "Fishers of men." Jesus invites us to be on mission with Him. Jesus has a mission for all who identify with Him. And it's based on His kingdom, not based on preferences. And that's what He's inviting us to. It's an invitation that crosses cultural and ethnic barriers. And what was their response to this amazing grace? What was the response of those first hearers of God's calling to follow Him and to make disciples of all people and to go on mission with Him? Verse 20, "Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And He called them" what? "And immediately they left the boat and their father and they followed Him." Do you see the picture in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus says, "Come sit down. Feast with me at my table." And it's at that table that you will experience amazing grace. It's at that table that you will be changed and you will be transformed and you will love me. Why? Because I first loved you. But that love draws us to a place of action. That you will be my missionary in this world. You will share the light in a dark world. And this is the application for us today. The invisible God becomes visible through the hands and feet of His people. That's the application that we see. The invisible God becomes visible through the hands and hearts of His people. That's the picture of Boaz. That's what Boaz is doing. God uses His people to remove the barriers and walls between them and God. He chooses to display who He is through the church. The church has the privilege, the church has the opportunity, and yes, the church has the responsibility to show the redeeming kindness of our Savior. And the question for us this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, like Boaz, are you inviting people to His table? Are you inviting people to His table? Or are you here this morning and you've never responded to the invitation to the table? The table is a place of grace. The table is a place of generosity. The table is a place that breaks down every culture, ethnic barrier whatsoever. The gospel is for whoever. Whoever. By grace through faith are we saved. And that leads us to our second truth this morning. The second truth this morning is redeeming kindness leads us to blessing. It leads us to blessing. How prone are we to recognize or not recognize the blessings of God? We walk through life day in and day out, and for many of us, we don't recognize God's blessings over us. But this passage tells us something about the blessings of God. And we see three blessings here. The first one is found in verse 14. "God shows me the blessing of abundance." The blessing of abundance. And this isn't some prosperity gospel. This is what we receive as men and women of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ. When we are adopted into His family. When the orphan is no longer an orphan. We receive the blessing of abundance. Verse 14. "And she ate until" what? "She was satisfied and she had some left over." Man, Ruth leaves lunch with Boaz, and guess what she has? She has a doggy bag. She's got a doggy bag full of food. Don't you love going to a restaurant like that? Where you eat and you're satisfied and you got some left over, right? You're coming home with that. Matter of fact, strategically, moms and dads, you should set out to do just that. Eat at places that you'll have some left over. And that's what happens with Ruth. She's satisfied and she's got some left over. But also in verses 17 through 19. So think about the abundance here, the blessing of abundance here. And so she gleaned in the field until evening. So she didn't stop working that day. She went out, went back to the field that God had blessed her with, right? So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's about a week's worth of food. That's important. Remember, Ruth and Naomi had what? They had nothing. She sat out that day, Ruth sat out that day to find favor from God. She ends that day with a week's worth of food. Verse 18, and she took it up and she went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. That's referring back to what? The goodie bag, the doggy bag that she had before, right? She had it still. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Blessed be the man who saw you. Blessed be the man who paid attention to you." That's a picture of Jesus Christ. That in the midst of the crowds, God sees the hearts of people. And Boaz is that picture. Man, praise God for the one who saw you. Praise God for the one who noticed you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Man, can you see Ruth as she's carrying roughly 30 pounds of barley down the street, right? Everyone who sees her pass by knows she's what? She's that Moabite girl, right? They know that she left that morning on the street with nothing. But yet by the end of the day, she's coming back with abundance. And it's getting dark outside, and so Naomi is doing what? She's outside looking across the hill, if you will. And what does she see? She sees a dark shadow coming down the path, but not just a dark shadow. The person of Ruth, she sees that Ruth has some food. Not just a small amount of food, but abundance of food. And before Ruth can get in the door, Naomi in rapid fire says what? "Where did you glean today and where have you worked?" I mean, you can just imagine the questions that are coming up. Naomi's got to be hungry. Where she hadn't eaten anything all day. But now Naomi's eating. But she's intrigued. I mean, wouldn't you be intrigued if you had nothing that morning and then you came, your daughter-in-law came back and had a week's worth of food? She's intrigued. And the question, "Man, girl, where you been today? Where you been?" And you just have to visualize what's happening here. Ruth's like, man, I was in this field. I set out this morning to find favor. I found far more than that. I was in this field and I was gleaning, I was hustling, I was working all day. And then all of a sudden the owner invited me to his table. And man, I had roasted grain. I mean, that's got to be top on the list, right? This man protected me. This man provided for me. This man showed me the secret stash of food. Oh yeah, this man's name was Boaz. And you can almost sense Naomi in the midst of eating, right? "Did you say Boaz? You mean Boaz?" You sense in Naomi's life for the first time that we've seen, a light begins to go off. Her eyes are awakened with hope. And here's the beauty of the story. Through God's redeeming kindness, not only do they find help today, but they find hope for tomorrow. They didn't just find food for today, they found rest for tomorrow. And that's important. Again, it's not prosperity gospel. The abundance wasn't just in the food. The abundance was being set at a table. The abundance was being in a place of protection and provision. And the abundance was in a place of gleaning day in and day out. This is what we see in the life and work of Jesus Christ Himself, who said what? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And not just rest, I will give you rest for your soul. And this is what you begin to see in the life of Naomi. A life that was crushed, a life that had been turned upside down. A life that was so desperate and such desperation that she couldn't even get out of the house that morning. But yet when Ruth comes back, and as Ruth experienced the redeeming kindness of the Lord, Ruth doesn't keep it to herself. She gives it to her mother-in-law. She gives it to the one who had probably an even greater need. She gives it to Naomi. So we see the blessing of abundance, but we also see the blessing of repentance. This is important for us. Through God's invitation, we see the blessing of repentance. The word repentance means you're turning from one thing and you're turning to another. So in a spiritual sense, we're turning through the things of the world, the things that our flesh desires, and we're turning to the things of God. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Naomi. Verses 20 and 21, the scripture says, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Here we see Naomi's language begins to change. Her language changes, her demeanor begins to change. She begins to see the evidence of answered prayer. She begins to praise God again. Her heart is beginning to change and soften to the things of the Lord. Now, this is important for us because keep in mind, where was Naomi at just a chapter before? Ruth, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" After 10 years of drought and hardship and heartache and loss. Is this Naomi? That's what the townspeople are saying. And she said to them, Naomi said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. Do not call me pleasant, call me bitter. Why? For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" And here's Naomi. She is blessed by what she sees. She's blessed by what she hears from Ruth. She sees barley. She hears about Boaz, one of our redeemers. There is a relative that is able to be our what? Our kinsman redeemer. And all of a sudden, think about how all these years worked for Naomi. Think about this. She walked through a lot of hard times. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She lived during time of famine. She was in a foreign land. She traveled back 25 miles, 30 miles back to her hometown. She said goodbye to Ruth that morning. And here's what we believe and I believe about Naomi. I believe Naomi was a woman of God, but I also believe she struggled in her prayer life. I believe as the journey got difficult and the season of difficulty grew longer and harder, I believe Naomi knew and believed in the promises of God, but when she didn't see the promises of God being materialized in her life, disbelief and doubt began to set in. I believe Naomi is a lot like you and I. She was a strong woman of faith. And yet, there were times where there was deep struggle. Anybody relate with that this morning? She was struggling to see what God was doing in her life. And the reality is, doubt blinds you and doubt blinds me from seeing the faithfulness of God, doesn't it? This is exactly where the devil wants us to be. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we are in times of great difficulty, the devil comes in. He begins to speak to us words of doubt. He begins to plant thoughts of doubt. His goal is to what? Discourage us from trusting in and relying on the very providence and promises of God. And yet, in those hard times, God in His redeeming kindness shows us the blessing of repentance. Turning from what we see and feel and turning back to the truth of the gospel. It's during those times of repentance that the blinders of life are lifted and we begin to see again the blessings of our Lord. And Naomi, she now begins to see that from day one, God had a plan. A good plan, even in the days of great darkness, even in the days of great trial and hardship, His redeeming kindness was beginning to shine through. And even when life at times doesn't bear any evidence whatsoever of God hearing our prayers, we're reminded that God is still working. And Boaz was the answer to those prayers, wasn't it? God desires to take your feelings of bitterness and turn them back to feelings of joy. Naomi wanted a name change. God never changed her name. God knew that her ability and capacity to be pleasant was not found in her circumstances, not found in her willpower, but found in the very kindness of the Lord. She recognized the Lord's kindness. The Hebrew word here for kindness is, again, hesed. It's a word that occurs over 200 times in the Old Testament. It's one of the primary attributes of God, and this is what hesed is. Hesed is the thing that saints bank on and sinners beg for. God is full of grace, mercy, and compassion. Sinners say, have mercy on me according to what? Your hesed, according to your kindness. Saints say, Lord, show me your glory. And God says, I will show you my hesed. I will show you my kindness. My covenant kindness. The Redeemer is here. He's going to pay off your debt. That's the picture here. He's going to buy back your land. He's going to mend your broken heart. Naomi says, I can't wait to see if the Lord has him to be our Redeemer for us. Because at this point, she doesn't know. But through the kindness of Boaz, she begins to see that there's hope again. Hope is on the horizon. And that hope, that trusting, that faith component leads her back to a place of repentance. It's the blessing of repentance. And so ask yourself this question. Is life so dark, so hard for you right now that you can't see the promises and providence of God in your life? And God is giving us an invitation, giving you an invitation to come back to His table. Why? So that you will experience the blessing of repentance. And that leads us to our final truth this morning. God shows me the blessing of contentment. Contentment. The day ends as it began with a conversation between Ruth and Naomi. And what we find in the last part of the chapter, verses 21 through 23, it's really a he said, she said type of conversation. You'll find out when we get there, right? Here's what it says. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by a young man until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with this with these young women, lest in another field you be assaulted, right? Because there's an issue with security, an issue with protection. And so she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with who? With her mother-in-law. That's probably a pretty good relationship, right? How many of y'all are going to live with your mother-in-law? I don't know. That's a different subject, right? At this point in the story, Naomi begins to see God's providence. She begins to see God's grace and care and generosity. And Naomi says to Ruth, essentially this, you need to stay where you're at. You stay where you're at. Why? Boaz and his fields are what? Did you see that? It is good. It is good. It's a picture and a reminder to us to abide in God's field of grace. God's field of grace. There is no better place to be than to be resting in God's field of grace. But we get impatient, don't we? We get impatient. We have a day like Ruth had, and we get impatient. Why? Because we have to understand, verse 23 tells us that Ruth stayed there until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And that meant that there was about 2 months that transpired between this great day of this invitation at the table and getting the secret stash and gleaning and all this stuff. Now two months passed by. All right, Lord, what next? What next? We get like that, don't we? We experience the blessings of God, but yet we want more. We want it now. We want it fast. That's why Naomi tells Ruth, you need to stay where you're at. You need to remain in that field. Ruth doesn't leave. She doesn't get antsy. She doesn't get impatient. She rests with gospel contentment on what God has already provided for her. And that's one of the things that we need to realize as Christians, that we need to learn to rest in what God has already provided for us. Every day, Ruth has provision at her disposal. Everything she needs is right there. The question is, will she abide there? Will she stay there? Will she be content staying where Boaz and Naomi had asked her to stay? And what is the application for us this morning? God is working in my waiting. God is working in my waiting. 2 months passed by. Is this all, Lord? He's working in our waiting. In our time of waiting, Jesus is more than enough. All the things we need most will be achieved for us by what? The very labor of God. God is laboring here. God is working and orchestrating things through. It reminds me of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 64 verse 4. It says, "From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him." The book of Ruth exists to help us watch for and wait on God. You know, a lot of things didn't change, but some things did change. What we see in Ruth chapter 2 is God is always setting us up for what? For the win. That's what we see in the life of Ruth and Naomi. In Ruth chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "A redeemer has moved into the picture." That's the first notice that we get of this man named Boaz. Things look up. Chapter 2 says, don't forget the role of the Redeemer. Remember the definition of Redeemer. The Redeemer's come in the midst of great need. The Redeemer honors the smallest of faith. Redeemers, they have much resource, but they don't keep that resource for themselves. They give it. Redeemers give all they have to provide help. Everything is pointing us to the greater Boaz. Jesus Christ Himself, the one who is the Redeemer of all Redeemers. In Jesus Christ, you will always have hope. Man, the picture that we see in Ruth chapter 2, the picture that we see throughout the book of Ruth is we are Ruth herself. That's who we are. We're foreigners to what God is doing. We're alien to how God thinks. We have no status. We fall short of His glory. We fall short of His standard. We need to be drawn near. We need to be fed by Him. We need to be refreshed by Him. We need to be protected by Him. Everything in the book of Ruth is reminding us that that's who we are. That's why the invitation to the table is so great. That's why grace and generosity and the fact that the gospel transcends all cultural and ethnic barriers is so huge for us today. And it's through the blessing of that table that we experience and see the abundance of our Lord. It's where we are drawn to the place of repentance. Repentance is good. It's not a bad thing. It's a great biblical thing. And it's a place that we are reminded that contentment and rest in the place that God has put us is a huge benefit to us. This morning, Jesus is inviting you to His table. Will you trust Him? Will you abide in Him? Will you rest in Him? Will you wait for Him? Do you need grace this morning? Do you need generosity this morning? Do you need a reminder that for some of you, you're going to have Thanksgiving meal this Thursday and you're going into a war zone? Do you need a reminder that the gospel is powerful enough to draw the hardest of hearts to Himself? The invitation to His table has been given. And how will you respond? As Pastor Sean and the praise team come up and lead us into our time of response. Are you in a time, a season of life where you are experiencing the blessings of abundance in your life? Again, it has very little to do with physical means. It has much to do about the very presence of the Lord in your life. Are you here this morning and you're experiencing the blessing of repentance? The very fact that each and every day you have the opportunity and the choice to turn from your ways and turn from what you see and turn to the things of God and His providence and His redeeming kindness over you. Are you in a season today where you're experiencing the blessing of contentment, or is your mind and your heart wandering to all the things that you think you don't have and all the things that you think you do need? The book of Ruth is reminding us that the greatest place to be is in the very fields of God's grace. And so as we stand and sing today, the altar will be open for you to pray. If you have questions about what it means to be a Christ follower, if you want to join Charleston Baptist Church, whatever your needs are today, I pray that we respond in worship to Him. Let us stand and sing.